This is Todd Sommerfeld. I'm a sales agronomist for CHS in Crookston, Minnesota. We are pleased to bring you the update from the Red River Farm Network, CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson, along with Randy Conan and Jamie Dickerman. World Weather Incorporated reports weekend rainfall improved soil moisture in parts of Brazil. Some regions received over 3 inches of rain, while others in the northeast remained dry. Forecasts indicate regular showers over the next 2 weeks, aiding safrinha crops, though some areas will still need follow-up rain. In Argentina, widespread rain interrupted field work but replenished soil moisture. Rainfall reached nearly multiple inches in central Chaco, with temperatures ranging from the 50s to the 90s. Additional rain is expected through early April, improving crop conditions in drier northern regions. Warmer temperatures are expected later in the week before a slight cool down early next week.
Over half of North Dakota is experiencing drought conditions heading into the 2025 planting season, with around 12% of the state in abnormally dry range conditions. NDSU Extension Livestock Environmental Stewardship Specialist Miranda Meehan says ranchers will likely need some extra moisture this spring to meet grazing requirements for cattle.
To achieve normal forage production based off of where soil moisture levels are right now, we're projecting about above 150% of normal precipitation April through July 1 to be able to get to those levels. Whereas when we're in the southern part of the state, the southeast, we have drought conditions. We're dry, but not as dry. We're looking at about 130% of normal precipitation to get to normal or above normal forage production. Then we have the areas outside of drought where we're sitting in better place. It's just really going to depend, as always, on that April through July 1 precipitation.
Meehan warns ranchers not to get too early of a start with grazing this year.
I think the biggest thing is our ranchers need to make sure they're not grazing too early, and especially when we're in drought conditions. So ranchers need to know not to graze too early, especially when we're in drought conditions and if things stay dry. It's going to be really easy to get ahead of our forage and run out of our forage. So we want to make sure we're waiting until our grasses reach grazing readiness. And for our tame grasses, such as smooth brome grass, crested wheatgrass, that's the three-leaf stage, so they have three fully extended leaves. And for our native grasses, that's the three-and-a-half-leaf stage. Also, just making sure we're not grazing below the growing point, which is between those first two leaves. If we do that, those plants are unable to regrow and have to start growing from a new tiller.
Russia and the United States in talks at this hour to restart the Black Sea Grain Initiative, which previously ensured safe passage for merchant ships. The Kremlin confirming that the Black Sea Grain Initiative, brokered by Turkey and the UN in 2022, allowing Ukraine to export 33 million metric tons of grain despite the ongoing war. Russia withdrew from the agreement in 2023, citing obstacles to its own food and fertilizer exports. Moscow now seeking to restore ammonia exports and reconnect its agricultural bank to SWIFT.
National Farmers Union and Coldiretti issued a joint declaration and letter to President Trump and EU Commission President von der Leyen about the trade dispute between the U.S. and EU. National Farmers Union President Rob LaRue said that it is important to advocate for farmers on both sides.
So in this particular case with the EU, we're just seeing rising tensions on both sides. But as the farmers and the producers of those food and grain products, we're going to be on the front lines of any retaliation on both sides. And the ultimate losers in this are going to be family farmers wherever they are. And so it was natural for us to work with family farm organization in Italy, in this case, just say to our leaders, please take a moment, try to find a diplomatic way and solution forward here.
LaRue said that many farmers are still recovering from the last trade war during the first Trump presidency.
We suffered real losses during the last trade war with China and lost markets that we still haven't been able to recover. And, you know, short-term payments to kind of replace some of that lost market is nice. But, you know, at the end of the day, we want to get our prices out of the marketplace and not from government payments.
Grain markets lower today. Progressive Ag Marketing market analyst Brian Strumman said the negativity in the wheat market is weather related.
There's rain in the forecast for the Southern Plains here later this week, and that was the talk in the market at the end of last week, still in the forecast for this week. So we're seeing some pressure in the wheat complex, especially again in that Kansas City market. You look at soybeans slightly lower again, good weather in South America, and the corn market too, down a couple cents. Corn is competitive on the world market, but we've seen some long fund liquidation coming into the market, and tariff concerns continue to hang over the market in addition to the USDA quarterly stocks and acreage estimates for next Monday. So we'll see some positioning this week and ahead of that big report next Monday.
Cattle markets mixed. Lean hogs down a little here today.
The cattle on feed report, was slightly friendly for the on feed and the marketing's number, but bullish again for the placement number, down 18% from last year. So I think that's supporting the feeder cattle this morning. The cash market was also up, $3 to $10 on Friday. We've seen some strength in that cash market now the last couple of weeks for the live cattle. We've got a cold storage report tomorrow, and then you look at the funds. They added to their long position on both the live cattle and feeder cattle, which is kind of the opposite story in the lean hogs.
USDA's weekly export inspections report for the week ending March 20th showing 1.46 million metric tons of corn inspected for export. That's 14% less than the previous week, but 17% more than the same a week ago. Soybean inspections of 800,000 tons are 25% more than the previous week, 5% more than the same week last year. Wheat inspections, 485,000 metric tons, 2% less than the previous week, but 12% more than the same week a year ago. For the marketing year, corn inspections are 32% ahead of last year, soybeans 9% ahead, wheat inspections 18% more than a year ago. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Acres and Shares is reporting 43 American Crystal Sugar Company shares sold during the week ending March 21st at $5,600 per share. For the trading season, 5,619 shares have been sold at an average price of $5,436 per share, with a high of $5,700 and a low of $5,100 per share.
The Minnesota Board of Animal Health has confirmed H5N1 bird flu in a Stearns County dairy herd. Board of Animal Health has quarantined the herd until they meet the testing requirements indicating it's no longer infected. The Minnesota Board of Animal Health says there is no concern for the safety of the milk supply, as all milk sold in stores is pasteurized. That kills the bacteria and the virus, and pasteurization has shown to be highly effective to kill the H5N1 virus in milk.
Corn ethanol getting a second wind from President Trump and GOP lawmakers' plans to pull the plug on electric vehicles. Trump and Hill Republicans proposing ending EV tax credits and Biden tailpipe emission rules that favor EVs, plus cutting charging station funding. Renewable Fuels Association's Troy Bradenkamp says the playing field's being re-leveled.
Long term, we think that bodes well for the liquid fuel and the internal combustion engine. And in terms of liquid fuel, we think that we're one of the best options out there in terms of not only renewable, but emissions and obviously price friendly for the consumer.
Bradenkamp says this will have an impact on hybrids that use both ethanol and electric.
The hybrid vehicle also qualified for that tax credit, so the tax credit being eliminated would have an impact on hybrid technology. But I think at the end of the day, I think eventually both the consumers and the manufacturers hopefully get to the point where hybrid technology is the winner. That's going to lead to a lot more ethanol production. That's going to lead to a lot more corn grind and ethanol and corn demand, which is both very positive for the rural economy.
At the meeting of the North Dakota House Appropriations Committee, Representative Mike Belts spoke in favor of Senate Bill 2342, which would create a value-added milk processing facility incentive program.
Putting a statement out there with a bill and with some money in it that says we're serious about wanting animal egg in the state of North Dakota with our processing plants, soy crush plants, and the like, there's opportunity.
Senator Paul Thomas spoke about an amendment to the bill.
The $10 million line of credit, what that is, we're not providing a line of credit to the processing plant. The $10 million line of credit is if by chance somebody comes into the state of North Dakota and builds a $200 million processing plant, the Ag Department and the Ad Fund could access the Bank of North Dakota to get the $10 million to grant to them because they've completed this large investment in our state. So that's what the line of credit is. There's no payment going out to anybody here until this plant is built and it's processing milk, they're fully employed.
The bill is set to be voted on by the House.
Central Plains Dairy Expo begins tomorrow, runs through Thursday in Sioux Falls. Events with a free concert featuring country star Ray Lynn on Tuesday night, and the expo and trade show kicking off Wednesday morning. Central Plains Dairy Foundation Executive Director Christy Mock said it's a place to be for everything dairy.
More than 300 exhibitors, over 70 education sessions that people can take part in, and really it's a fabulous place for networking for anybody involved in the dairy industry throughout the Central Plains region.
Mock said the event is free for producers to attend, and you'll get a lot of information and a lot of food.
We'll be feeding you free food all throughout the day. We have free donuts in the morning on Wednesday, free pancake breakfast in the morning on Thursday. We have over 2,500 grilled cheeses that'll be served, 880 pounds of cheese. And if that's not enough, in the afternoon, we'll also have 2,000 ice cream treats, followed by a wine and cheese social at 4:30 in the afternoon on Wednesday. So there's plenty of fun, food, education, and networking that can take place at the Central Plains Dairy Expo.
The enrollment deadline for USDA's Dairy Margin Coverage Program is approaching fast. DMC payments help offset the differences in milk and feed prices. The sign-up deadline is March 31st. Go to the Red River Farm Network's website, rrfn.com, to sign up for the weekly FarmNet newsletter. You can also download this broadcast and follow us on Facebook and X. It's all right there at rrfn.com. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. There's a lot of legislation on the books affecting agriculture. One you may not have heard of is the ACRE Act, or Accessing Credit for Rural Economy. American Bankers Association Senior VP of Ag and Rural Banking Ed Elfman talks about what it is and the effect it would have on the economy.
It's a tax bill. So in the context of agriculture, we always think farm bill, right? But in reality, there's a lot of taxes that affect agriculture, ACRE Act being one of those pieces of legislation that would change the tax code. So to break it down, what it will do is it will change the tax code around agricultural farm real estate lending, rural housing, aquaculture, and fishery.
While it is a banking bill, Elfman talks about how it would help farmers and ranchers.
Interest rates are two things. It's a combination of risk and cost. Risk, make your payments on time, use a USDA guaranteed loan. That can lower your risk, right? On the cost side, we have to pay our employees, keep our businesses, our bank branches open, and pay taxes. So by removing the tax that we pay on farm real estate lending, we can lower interest rates for farmers and ranchers. Our analysis shows the rates will lower 50 to 150 basis points. So that's real money when you're paying 7% interest to get down to 5.5, especially in this type of environment we're in, economic environment we're in. So to us, it was a solution to come up with, how do we lower costs? On the other side of the equation, Farm Credit System, some other folks have this in place already. So we're just trying to create the same level playing field for the banking industry as well, which ultimately helps farmers and ranchers.
Checking quotes, May Wheat Minneapolis down a dime, 5.94¾. May Wheat Chicago down 9¾ cents, 5.48½. Kansas City's hard red winter wheat May contract down 10½ cents, 5.78¼. May corn up a quarter of a cent, 4.64½. May soybeans down 3 cents, 10.06¾. July soybeans down 2½ cents, 10.19 even. New crop November soybeans down 2 cents, 10.05¾. In Winnipeg, May canola is down $1.60 per metric ton at 5.70¢ Canadian. On the cattle side, April live cattle down $1.02, 205.97. June live cattle down 67 cents. August live cattle down 37 cents. April feeders down 12 cents, 284.85. May feeders down 70 cents. August feeders down 60 cents. April lean hogs down 27 cents at 85.85. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.